Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, here we are with Advent. Wow, got here pretty quickly in the Christmas season already. And today, as we look at Advent, what does the word Advent mean? Advent means coming, right? So we're remembering the great coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was born as a babe in Bethlehem, born to be Savior of the world. As it's written in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. So we're remembering God's salvation today. Everything he's done in the past for us. But the topic of this sermon is going to be looking at Christ's second advent. That is, his second coming on the clouds of heaven according to his promises in the Holy Scriptures. And I think sometimes when we look at the Christmas season and everything seems to supposed to be peace on earth and goodwill among men, we look at the world and we find things like this. I was looking at the news this morning. Check this out. Tiger Woods car crash. Transsexual LA Times sports writer found dead. IRS files $79,000 tax lien against Schwarzenegger. Documents for an investigation found in a dumpster. Cuba conducts war games with U.S. invasion in mind. Banks face fresh crisis after investing billions. You know, it's Christmas time, and we're supposed to be rejoicing in peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You see all this going on, you might be saying, what's the world coming to? You ever ask that? What's the world coming to? Well, I can answer that in five words. You ready? From the Word of God? What's the world coming to? The day of the Lord. It's coming to Jesus' second advent. You read all this stuff, it's just confirming our Christmas message that Jesus came to bring peace, and he's coming to bring judgment and salvation to us on the last day. So today, I'd like to talk with you about this day of the Lord that's spoken of throughout the Scriptures from the beginning to the end so often. In fact, all of Scripture, the whole Bible, our whole lives point forward to this day. It's God's aim to bring the world to this day, but to bring us safely to it. So let's take a look today at the second return of Christ, his second advent, his second coming, the day of the Lord. You ready? Begin with, let's just confirm that this is really going to happen. So, in Hebrews chapter 9 says this, verse 27, and just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So Christ is definitely coming again to save us. You could also look at Matthew 26, verse 63. Jesus is before the chief priests at his trial. And they say, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. You could also look at the Old Testament lesson for today, which Neil read a few moments ago, where we read this, for behold, the day of the Lord comes, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch. But for those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go forth like calves, leaping from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for there will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. So, the first thing we got to understand about the day of the Lord is this. It's coming. It's real. You've never seen it, and it's hard to believe that something's coming that you've never seen. Isn't that right? You ever been on a train tracks? I remember as a little boy, I went on the train tracks. You know, your friends are putting those pennies on there. I don't think it's safe. I don't know it really harms the train. But nevertheless, it's a peaceful day. All I hear is birds. I don't hear, you know, like the Indians. I get down and try to listen to the track, hear the train. Didn't hear anything coming, but guess what? That train did come. Not very long thereafter. And it rumbled down the tracks. The day of the Lord also is coming. Even if you can't see it, even if you can't feel it, even if you've never heard exactly what it sounds like, It's coming because God has promised it. So I want to set this before your eyes today that, first of all, you got to understand, whatever has a beginning has an end. And guess what? The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Last verse of the Bible says, Amen, come Lord Jesus. Beginning and end. There's going to be an end to this world. So let's set that in our minds. We're looking for the new heavens and the new earth to come in which righteousness dwells. So, what's this day of the Lord going to be like? Let me read to you what this day, well, what do you think it would be like? You give me a shout out a few words, if you would, while I look this up. Huh?
Thunder, lightning.
I heard peaceful. Wonderful.
Awesome.
Fire.
Awesome.
All right, you got some. Which one's correct? The answer in the traditional Lutheran question, answer to all these is yes. All right, all those. All right, let's look at the thunder and lightning part. For Joel chapter 2, verse 11, the Lord utters his voice before his army, for his host is exceedingly great. He that executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So there's a very fearsome word from Joel. We can also go on to this one from Isaiah chapter 13. Well, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty it will come. Therefore all hands will be feeble, and every man's heart will melt, and they will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in travail. They will look aghast at one another, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I'll punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I'll put an end to the pride of the arrogant, and lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. Sounds terrifying, doesn't it? It is a dark day, in addition to other things. Does this sound just like the Old Testament, though? People say, Old Testament, God, wrath, anger, thunder, lightning. New Testament, peaceful, love, daisies, right? Check out what Jesus says. Let's see if that's true. Matthew 11, it says, Then Jesus began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, but they did not repent. And then he says, Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. So Jesus affirms the teachings of the Old Testament. The prophets affirm this. And Paul says things like this. For you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail comes upon a woman with child. And there'll be no escape. Now, I've not had a child. I've not given birth, but I've had a kidney stone. Travail and pangs came upon me. You know, I have to do that sort of, Bill Cosby thing where he's practicing for the childbirth with his wife. You know, that kind of breathing that women do. Well, no breathing's going to help when you have a child, really, ultimately. And no special breathing preparations are going to prepare you for this. It's going to come suddenly, unexpectedly, upon the world. And as Paul says, there will be no escape for the wicked. But is there an escape for us? Yes, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he praises the Thessalonians for having turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He delivers us from the wrath to come. Get this. Jesus came the first time in order to prepare us for his coming the second time. Amen? When I was a younger lad, and wanting my Daniel Boone days, I went out to an island one time in the middle of winter in Cape Cod, and I built this wilderness structure that I could live in for, if I wanted to go out there. It was in the woods, nobody was there, it was all deserted island. But then I heard that there was a storm coming. A terrible snowstorm was going to hit the Cape for 3 days. What did I do, being a stupid young adolescent? I said, I'm going to go out there and try it out. Well, I went out there with my canoe past ice floes onto a snowy island, and then I got in my shelter, and guess what? The storm came, and for 3 days it blew against the island, 30 miles an hour winds, gale force, so that the ice from the other shore came up and surrounded the island and caked and crackled up on the beach, such that I could not get my canoe off to go back to the mainland. I was trapped on the island, and the snowstorm came and dumped feet of snow on this island in freezing temperatures for several days, and there I was, trapped on the island. But was I afraid? Well, I would have been afraid had I not a shelter, right? If I went out there naked, running around like some tree-hugging nut, I would have been in trouble. But I went out there prepared, and guess what? I had a shelter. I could even have a fire inside this thing. And so I was fine because I'd found the proper shelter from the storm. And I'll tell you, Jesus came the first time, Christmas, we're celebrating that, in order to prepare us for the second time. Blessed are all those who take refuge in me, he says, for you'll have shelter from the storm. So let's talk then about the different approaches that people have to this preaching in the world. You know, my message right now, amongst most people in the world, be like, posh. Forget that. You're a crazy nut. What are you talking about? These kinds of things won't happen. Have you heard that? In fact, let's see. In Acts chapter 17, Paul preached similarly. He says this, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commends all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." What was their response to it? Same one as we have today. "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll hear more again about this. So Paul went out from among them, but some men joined him and believed." What's your response today to this? You've got to be careful. And God says to this to you right now through me, beware of the world, for it doesn't believe this. It's going to laugh it and mock it and consider it jesting. Remember the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah? We don't see that happening too often, do we? That was a time when God made an example of a city as to what he was going to do. But later on in the judgment day, but listen to what it says here. Lot was told by the angel of the overthrow of the city, and he said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up and get out of this place, for the Lord's about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. Laughable. How about in the days of Noah? God says, "I'll not abide with man forever, but 120 years. Noah preached for 120 years by building the ark. That judgment day was coming. What happened in those days? Anybody believe? No? They mocked. They mocked. They jeered. They laughed. Look at the old man building a boat in the middle of a field. But Jesus says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and a flood came and destroyed them all." So beware, Christians. Let's remember our shelter, our refuge. Beware of the world that mocks, because Peter says, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have considered as they were from the beginning of creation." But they deliberately ignore this fact, says Peter, that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water, and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was submerged with water and perished. But by that same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. So, beware the scoffers, but there are also some that want to hear the word, but not believe it. Notice in Acts 17, that's what happened. Do you hear that today? Are there people out there that say, "I'm a Christian, I go to church, and I, come day of the Lord," but they also are not ready for it, because they live in sin? I'm mindful of, for example, those pastors who don't believe the word, the virgin birth of Christ, the resurrection, of the Lord bodily from the grave? We talked about that last summer. There are many pastors that don't believe that, and yet they'll say, come day of the Lord. Yeah, we're going to ordain practicing homosexual persons and be in favor of all that kind of behavior, but come day of the Lord. Is that a good idea?
No.
You know, when I was putting, I don't think I did. I think I put, that's right, I think I put coins on that train track, but then took them off because I was guilty, afraid I'd like really damage the train. But do you think it'd be wise to put your face down on that track and fall asleep? Amen, come, O train? No. Come on now. Amos 5, God talks to people who are religious, who are having their ceremonies, and he says, woe to you. This is Old Testament. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord, says God? It's darkness, and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned with his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, God says, I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer burnt offerings and cereal offerings, I'll not accept them. I'll not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs, the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's what God wants to prepare for the day of the Lord. He wants people who believe the truth and then live the truth, right? And if you're just saying, come, Lord Jesus, but you're not living it, these people need to be careful. Because you can take this word of the Lord presumptuously. So remember that householder who, when the master comes, blessed is that servant, when the master comes, will find his servant so doing, right? But finally, there are those who hear this word and believe and hold it forth like good soil and bring forth fruit a hundredfold. And God says this in Joel. If I didn't take it out. Yeah, I did. After saying that the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, who can endure it? What's God say? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of doing evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him? So God calls all the world and calls us today through his word to remember him, to repent, and to again take shelter under him who is the perfect shelter. And for us is that day dark and thunderous and lightning, as indeed it will be for the wicked? Well, for those who are in Christ, I have this good news for you. Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 28, now, when all these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And God says in Isaiah 65, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And for us, as we remember this season, our Lord's first advent, let us remember that he came that first time to prepare us for that second coming, where we will be like calves leaping from the stall with ever abundant joy at an inheritance, at God face to face, at a judge who's on our side, at an advocate, Jesus, who pleads your case for you through the blood of his cross, the forgiveness of sins and peace with God and everlasting righteousness and joy shall cover their heads. Therefore, we'll conclude with this word from Isaiah 25, where God prophesies of that day and prophesies of you, saying, God says, it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. In the name of the coming Savior, we pray. Amen.